Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bills back in prime time at MetLife Stadium. Mentioned for you earlier as we bring in Sal Capaccio for Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Pre-game version, though. The Jets and Giants are 4-30 in their last 34 primetime games. They don't do well on primetime. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Good morning. And I saw last night... They're even worse. Their regular percentage, they're like worse at home, I think, than they are in their overall percentage on prime time. So hopefully the Bills can, you know, keep that going tonight at MetLife. It reminds me of last year, week number one. Hopefully not the same result for the Bills, but remember the Giants had played week one at home to the Cowboys and got crushed. And then next night the Bills played at the Jets. So it's the same situation here this weekend where back to back nights, Giants home primetime, Jets home primetime.
Yep. So let's do the Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We're waiting for word on a number of players. Ed Oliver's been ruled out. I saw Adam Schefter tweet that James Cook is planning to play, but we don't have that officially, right? He was limited at practice.
Right.
And Khalil Shakir, another one to watch. How does the full injury report look in terms of guys that are still on it? I know it ended up being like 16 names long, but a lot of those names were full participants by the end of the week. So what is the number at really right now that we're watching?
Five, but only four that we don't know of. One is out, as you said, at Oliver. So there's the participation report, which is the injury report all week, and then there's the game status report. There's only four people remaining there that we don't know. One is running back James Cook. Now, Jeremy, based on like how these things normally go and watching practice, if you would have said to me, you know, yesterday, day before, like, what do you think about James Cook? I'd be like, yeah, I really don't think so. I mean, just he hasn't practiced. And then Adam Schefter tweets that Cook's agency says he's planning on playing.
Yeah.
And then McDermott says he's questionable. So I'm going to roll with that now and think, okay, looks like he's going to have a real shot here to be out there tonight. Cornerback Taron Johnson would be the opposite for me, which is he's practiced for 2 weeks. He doesn't even have a red non-contact jersey on. At this point, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't play. So to me, it's trending like that's going to happen. Defensive tackle Austin Johnson, you never know. We'll see. He's got an oblique injury. He's been limited all week. We'll see about that one. And then, of course, Khalil Shakir, same thing as James Cook to me, but maybe I would have all week been a little bit more optimistic on him because he was doing a little bit more than Cook off to the side. And he did practice for the first time on Friday on a limited basis, and he's questionable. So I think the two we're really watching here are Cook and Shakir, because I'm pretty confident at this point that Taron Johnson will suit up.
You know, Sal, I know that you know, player health is most important. They want their guys back. And we know that there's also a bit of a scale. Like, oh, if this were a playoff game, he could play. I wonder what mm-hmm. that means for a division game where it's the difference between being in second place or having a two-game lead. Like, this is a very big game for the Bills, and I wonder how that would affect a decision on a guy like Shakir, who clearly they have seen in the last game and a half how much they miss him when he's out of the lineup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder the same thing. Like, I mean, you know, do you just kind of say, all right, you know, if we can get something out of him, it's better than nothing, or we're going to hold him back for another week. You know, I feel like that was the case maybe with both Terrell Bernard a couple of weeks ago and then Taron Johnson last week, which is, hey, you know, we have a division game coming up with Taron Johnson, you know, this week. Let's wait another week because, remember, he was questionable last week. Is this a week where, okay, you know, we can get something out of Khalil Shakir. Maybe he's not 100%, but he can play. And then is that different if it's, you know, if it was next week at home against the Titans, if they're 4-2 in the same situation, right? I also just also obviously think about what's the chances of, you know, re-injury a lot of times. You think about James Cook, you know, he's dealing with a foot/toe injury. Like, is this the kind of injury where, hey, you know what? He can play. He'll be fine. It might be a little painful. Probably not going to have a chance to re-injure it unless he did something similar to it. Or is it a situation where, man, he just, like, a few too many cuts and that's, you know, going to be really bothering him? That could also play into something like this.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills-Jets. You know, Sal, one storyline. I've been talking a little bit about the Bills' offense this morning. Defense, they look pretty healthy almost all the way back. Again, no Oliver, no Milano, but enough pieces in there. And what we really get tonight is something we thought we would get to open the season last year, which is the first look at Aaron Rodgers. Now he's got, you know, five games under his belt. What do you expect in the way that the Bills will defend Rodgers in this game?
Yeah, a couple of things here, Jeremy. Number one, I agree with you that, like, you know, getting the pieces back, I think that it can't be understated about, you know, what the Bills have lost here in the middle of the field through the first several weeks of the season. Now they get Terrell Bernard back last week, but not having Taron Johnson. And, you know, I mean, I think Cam Lewis is a really good player as a replacement, but Taron Johnson's an all-pro, and it allows you to have Cam Lewis more flexible to be that dime safety, to come in different situations, kind of lets him be a little bit more in his natural, you know, spot on a roster. And then I think Taylor Rapp, too. Like, tonight, to transition Aaron Rodgers, like you said, you know, Aaron Rodgers is incredible. Right? He's a Hall of Famer. The Bills aren't gonna fool him. They're not gonna you can disguise as much as you want. You're not gonna fool Aaron Rodgers, but having a guy like Cole Bishop back there, I think Aaron Rodgers could fool him a little bit more than he could fool Taylor Rapp. And I think getting Taylor Rapp back is just a really big deal, you know, for this unit to have a veteran safety versus a rookie who we really like. I like Cole Bishop. I think he's gonna be good in this league, but, you know, obviously had a couple struggles last week, and he's still learning the game. And I think that allows the defense to really just kind of play straight up against Aaron Rodgers and say, okay, like, we just think we're going to be better than you and we're going to come after you. And I think that's what they're going to do, Jeremy, which is make sure that he just can't, you know, get out. He has to, you get to him as quick as you can. I don't think he's been as mobile even the last couple of weeks as he was the first couple of weeks. I was very impressed the first couple of weeks that Aaron Rodgers was able to get out of the pocket a little bit more than I thought he would in their first couple of games. And I'm like, okay, like, actually he's looking pretty good. He's been getting beaten up a lot, and because of that, he's getting rid of the ball very quickly. And I think that's the key right here, which is, you know what? Don't give him time to extend plays. Even if he's not mobile and running around back there, you know, don't allow, force him to continue to just get rid of the ball quickly. Everything for them is a struggle right now on offense, and part of the reason is because, you know, they're just trying to get rid of the ball, not let him be in harm's way back there. And I think that's what you have to do against Aaron Rodgers right now. To me, the biggest thing here, though, is the Jets are going to run the ball against
them. Yeah,
they're
going to test.
I really believe that.
I saw numbers on, like, Todd Downing, their OC, how often he has run the ball in the past when he's got. And they are coming off a game, Sal, where Rodgers threw the ball 54 times against Minnesota last week. So, yeah, they're going to look at this Bills defense and maybe think they can make some money in the run game.
I mean, listen, the Bills are 32nd in the league in stopping the run against, you know, per play. Why wouldn't you? If you're the Jets, you're feeding Breece Hall tonight. You're feeding Breeland Allen tonight. I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and be physical and play big boy football against the Bills and say, we're going to bet that you can't stop us. Now, listen, part of the Todd Downing numbers are a little skewed because he had Derrick Henry, you know, in Tennessee. So he's running a lot, right? I mean, he was the offensive coordinator in Tennessee with them. But yeah, I think that that's what they're going to do. What the best way to protect Aaron Rodgers is to have him hand the ball off and be successful. The problem is, Jeremy, the Jets just, they can't run the ball this year so far. They just can't. I mean, if they start to run the ball against the Bills tonight, look out, because that really just allows their offense to do what they want to do. It's incumbent upon the Bills to make sure the Jets still can't run the ball. Then if you can get Aaron Rodgers in third and six situations, now you can really kind of force the issue a little bit more like you want with them.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We'll get some calls in. Brian in Arcade. Brian, good morning. You're on with Sal.
Hey, guys. So as we kind of work through offensive tape the last week or so, I listened to three analysts, Greg Cosell, Orlovsky, and then Matt Harmon. They all pretty much hit on schematic diversity as a problem with the Bills. I mean, Cosell noted there's no intermediate pass game. Orlovsky talked about how there's only two concepts out of 12 personnel when the Bills run play action. And then Matt Harmon talked about Keon Coleman's usage, and he's 80% as the X receiver, and he's not able to get out of man coverage at all. Said he's lost in man coverage. You know, and then for me, I think this is like the last call for Curtis Samuel. Like, if he's going to be running orbit motion and slot again tonight, and he's at 20 to 30% snap count, I think the train's leaving the station on, you know, we're going to see him on the outside trying to beat man coverage. I don't know what they've done with him and what the plan is, but I'm kind of losing confidence that, you know, tonight's the last call on that. So what I would expect is the Jets to completely smother the outside game, especially if you're going to, you know, trust Mac Hollins to be on the outside. I think they'll smother the outside completely. They'll force everything to the middle. And then Allen's going to have to play this patient check down game, and you're going to have to punt and play field position, because I expect a low-scoring game with a ton of running. I don't think there's going to be any room for our wide receivers to operate.
Well, thanks, Brian. This work, Shakir, is key. And, you know, Sal, they've got Sauce Gardner, who's got a lot of a big reputation, maybe not having the best year, but DJ Reed is having a great year. So they've got two corners that can probably lock things down on the outside, right? And then it becomes a Kincaid and hopefully Shakir game or a scheme game. I mean, I think that Brian brings up a number of good points on why this matchup has been a problem in the past. And I felt for a long time, I know they beat them 32-6 last time they played in Buffalo, but I felt for a long time the Jets are not afraid of the Bills' weapons. And right now, I feel like they might lean into that even more.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, I mean, look at the first several games and what teams are doing, especially the last couple of weeks. If you're the Jets, aren't you just going with that blueprint? It's what you do anyway, right? I mean, the Jets are just a really aggressive defense. The Jets have actually played quite a bit of man-to-man this year, and now the Bills are seeing a lot of man-to-man. You know what you're going to do tonight? You're going to see a lot of man-to-man defense. So it's on Joe Brady to figure out how to get guys away, but it's on those guys to win, right? That's the other part of it. You got to win your one-on-one battles, and you have to find ways to get open. And what teams have done the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about this, is they've just gone man-to-man on the outside. And they said, all right, then we're just going to run pressure at you. We can bet that your receivers can't get open within the first few seconds. And then Josh Allen's internal clock has to speed up. And he has to try to either scramble around and make a heroic play, which he can do once in a while, but hasn't happened necessarily last game or two other than the one throw in Baltimore. And, you know, he's going to be off. Their timing's going to be off. That's exactly what's happened to the Buffalo Bills. You get Khalil Shakir back, that can change a little bit, right? Because now you have a few more maybe easy button throws, a few more spots where maybe he can beat a guy in the middle of the field. The Bills have done nothing in the middle of the field lately because Josh Allen is scrambling to his right or scrambling to his left because teams are blanketing the outside and then bringing pressure and putting a spy there. I mean, it's been the formula. They're going to see that tonight. I mean, there's no tricks tonight from the New York Jets. The Bills know exactly what the Jets are going to do. It's about beating them. It's about, you know, understanding that and figuring out a way to get by that. I agree with the caller. That's exactly what the Jets are going to do. So let's see if the Bills have an answer tonight for that. And hopefully with Khalil Shakir, they can at least have some semblance of trying to figure out how to combat that.
One stat for you here, numbers on the Jets. You know, anybody out there can decide if this is scary or maybe inflated, okay? But the Jets have allowed a league low 4.3 net yards per pass attempt, and they're second best with 136 yards passing allowed per game. Now, who do they play? That does matter. Purdy, good. Levis, Brissett, Darnold, and Bo Nix. Like, it's a Jets pass defense that has really impressive numbers. They're going against the best quarterback they've faced yet, but again, like, maybe this is going to be more than ever, Sal, a question about whether or not Josh Allen has enough to make it through the season in terms of a supporting cast.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is a there's a short term and a long term here, right? Like the short term is tonight. Do you have enough to figure out what's happened the last couple of weeks and say, all right, you know, we can beat what they're going to do. We have a couple plans here tonight, and then there's the long term, which is as the caller was kind of alluding to, like, okay, last chance for, you know, to see Curtis Samuel do something, and he expects the Jets to do this. Yeah, they're going to do that. Every team's going to keep doing it until the Bills show they can do something different. So what's the long-term solution? Are they just going to keep the status quo? Hopefully, maybe tonight shows them that, you know, I think as of right now, the Bills are just waiting on seeing, okay, let's just see where this goes the next couple of weeks, how we, you know, can kind of combat some things here, get in the lab, figure it out, have some guys... do a little bit of a better job in their own one-on-ones, like I said. So short-term tonight, can they figure it out against the Jets? And then long-term, you know, what happens if we see the exact same kind of result tonight with the wide receivers? What was it last week? 4 for 18. Last week, Josh Allen targeting wide receivers, 4 for 18. Some of that's on Josh. I mean, a couple yep. plays where he should have put the ball a little bit better. There's no doubt about that, where he had an opportunity in a window, but it just didn't work. But overall, I just think it's the overall schematic – you know, way that it's going, the people, the personnel, everything together. And I will just wonder where this goes over the next few weeks if we see even more of that tonight.
Ian in Ontario next up with Sal. Hey, Ian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the Bills-Jets tonight. Obviously, I'm going to the game. And
nice.
I think it's going to be, if we don't have Khalil Shakir as a wide receiver tonight, it's going to be a really bad game. And I think we should actually be really scared about what the Jets are going to do to us when they're on defense. And I also just want to say that one thing we haven't really been talking about, and that's partially because he was cleared, but Josh Allen with the head injury.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sure, he might have been cleared by the NFL, but, yeah, you never know with head injuries what's going on through his head. So that's going to be another factor tonight, I think. So thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, so over the weekend we got that the NFL and NFLPA, they conducted their investigation as to whether or not the proper protocols were followed, and they found, yes, they were. And I would say, with regard to that, I am with the Bills fans that still would express some concern. You know, Allen's answer about what happened in the tent was a little bit, you know, passive of an answer. And not to say anybody did anything wrong, but I think football fans and Bills fans have their antenna up over that whole sequence because they got the ball back a lot quicker than they were supposed to, right? And that led to a sped-up timeline. But, you know, what are you going to do? They said that they did their investigation and they said everything was on the up and up, which, you know, you take the league at their word, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it after the game, and I explained everything that happened on the sidelines, what I saw. I was very confident that they followed all the protocols because I saw it with my own two eyes. I was standing right there. I watched the independent neurologist walk into the tent with him. I watched him, you know, I watched them open it up and him stay in there, even though the Bills had gotten the ball back. They were in there for quite a while. And he came to the podium after the game. I was told around the sidelines he was evaluated for head injury and cleared to go in the game. That was never a question for me. Like there, as far as his answer, I agree with you, Jeremy. It was a little at passive. I wonder, though, too, and I don't know this. I wonder if he did that because he knew the team knew there was an investigation going on. They just want to say anything. You know right. what I mean? Like, we want to make sure. You know, we're going to say we'll say this, and then that's all I'm going to say about it. And then once the investigation happens, I don't know. I haven't thought much about it, to be quite honest, because I've seen these things before where you're down there and guys get evaluated for head injuries and they come back in the game. I've seen them where obviously guys get evaluated and they're out of a game. So everybody has obviously their own right and opinion to believe what they want about it, but he wasn't even on the injury report. He was never in concussion protocol. He was on the injury report, though, but not with the yeah. a head injury, obviously. So I haven't thought much about that. You know, last night, by the way, did you see that? Did you see the same thing kind of happen to Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Joe Burrow had his head slammed on the turf at the end of near the end of the game. He also went into the tent. And then I was waiting for a sideline report to come out about that. I never heard anything. And then all of a sudden, he's just back on the field. So I'm like, all right, I guess he was cleared.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, speaking of head injuries, Taylor Rapp, the report is he's going to wear the Guardian cap during the game.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, look, I mean, the guys can do that now. And, You know, it's so funny. I'm still friends with Mark Kelso, you know, and he did radio for us for years, and he was a safety back in the day. And it's so funny because Mark was so ahead of his time. I think about this sometimes, where Mark was like the original guardian cap guy. It wasn't the guardian cap. It was that extra shell he wore. And, you know, people would kind of snicker and make a little fun of him. Look, guy, he looks a little different. Look at that helmet he's wearing. Well, look at it now. I mean, and by the way, Mark is really still involved with helmet technology and all these kinds of things with concussions. I actually hooked him up with a local high school coach where the team in Buffalo area, a young man needed a special helmet, and I got Mark in touch with them. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I think it's amazing when I think about it now that these guys are doing this now. And I think back to 30 years ago, Jeremy, and Mark Kelso was doing this. He's the only one, and people were wondering, why is this guy doing this? And now look at it, right? I mean, you can do that. And I think it's awesome that guys are not afraid to say, hey, I don't care what I look like. I'm trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, I bet he gets a lot of questions from players. You know, maybe it's a different time. You're mentioning Kelso, like they'd look at him funny, and, you know, was it the Great Kazoo or something?
Kazoo. They just call him Kazoo, yeah.
And now I wonder if players would, instead of taking that route, they would just say, like, so you notice the difference? What's it like? I'm sure a lot of these players have considered it, and I can't think of a downside for any player to wear it.
No, I agree. The only downside, I guess, would be aesthetics. And, you know, players now have so much more knowledge and, I think, you know, just awareness of what's happening with the head injuries that I don't think they would think about that nearly as much. I mean, I guess I'd have to see, like, ask like a wide receiver if it's a little heavier on them or something. You know, can they move? Maybe something like that. But, you know, these guys are wearing it in practice all the time now. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see a lot more guys wearing it in games.
Yep. All right, Sal. Anything else for tonight's game? I mean, we've got Yankees Guardians at 7:30 going into it. So,
well, let's see. Our buddies John Scott and Josh Reed are both big Guardians fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing it last night, and I said, you know, we all could go to the Bronx and get back in time for kickoff and first pitch. It's like but we're not going to do that. But yeah, it's going on at the same time. Should be interesting, right there. So do you know? I don't know how many Bills fans know this. I don't know if you know this, Jeremy, but the Bills' assistant special teams coach, his name is Cody Harkey. Cody Harkey's dad is the Yankees bullpen coach. His name is Mike Harkey. So I don't know if you know that. He was actually in the hotel last night. I ran into him, said hi, and, you know, good luck to him. So that's a pretty cool tie-in right there.
Yeah. Well, Sal, enjoy the game. What's the weather look like? Is it going to rain? I mean, it's raining.
You know what?
No,
I don't think it's going to rain at all. I think it's going to be really nice, but it's a little chilly. Yesterday, so get this, Jeremy. We leave the airport in Buffalo yesterday. It is, you know what yesterday was, 50 degrees and miserable, right?
Yep.
Raining.
Yep.
50. We land in New Jersey, and we got below the front. The front was a little bit north, and it was 70 degrees and beautiful.
Nice.
Like, man, it was great. Went to Manhattan last night, walked around, went out to a nice dinner. It was great. Hit up Times Square. It was really cool last night. Come back, and tonight's going to be the same, except it's going to be colder. It's going to be probably about 50, low 50s at kickoff, and then it's going to get into the 40s during the game, but it's going to be clear and no rain. So I'll take it, right? Just got to dress a little bit warmer.
Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio, he will be, of course, on the sideline for tonight's game, Monday Night Football between the Bills and the Jets when we return. I have a Jets guest for you. Paul Esden's going to join us to talk about this Jets defense. And I've got some numbers from Pro Football Focus. The good news or the bad news? Josh, what do you want? The good news or the bad news?
Give me bad news first.
Okay, the bad news. The Jets' pass coverage is elite. According to Pro Football Focus ranking, all of the units in football, the best unit in football is the Steelers' pass rush. The second best unit in football is the Jets' coverage. They are great in the secondary. That's the bad news. You know what the good news is? Well, it's a little snark here, but I mean, if you're eliminating receivers that can't separate anyway, you know, who cares? I mean, you don't even have to have good coverage. By putting receivers that can't separate out on the outside against DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner, you're kind of taking DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner out of the game.
It's going to be a mental game. Hmm? They're going to think, oh, these guys don't separate, and boom, all of a sudden you're going to have separation.
Well, I think it's the opposite. I think it's kind of like when your fighter goes out and gets in a fight against their top center. Like, oh, 5 minutes each, they're both out of the game, I'll take that trade. DJ Reed takes out Mac Hollins? Advantage Bills?
He's like preoccupied with something that might not be part of the game plan.
Silver lining. That's all. Silver lining. 803-0550. So Paul Esden Jr. joins us on the other side to talk about that Jets defense and the matchup for Monday Night Football. If you're on hold, to get to more of your calls as well. 803-0550. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Each week, as you prepare for, you know, the defense you're going against, you look for ways to create advantages. You look for ways to put stress on the defense. Sometimes that'll involve motion, and sometimes that could involve unique formations, things like that. I think it's going to be a week-by-week basis. And as far as how much you can implement in the middle of the season, I think we have a really smart group of players. I think they can handle a lot. But that's going to be a case-by-case basis on how we think we can create advantage.
That is Todd Downing, new play caller of the offense for the New York Jets. Bills and Jets tonight, Monday Night Football. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. To the Wester Hotline, we're going to chat a little bit of Jets. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is Paul Esden Jr. of The Score 1260 and The Manchild Show with Boy Green. Paul, good morning. Big one tonight. Who's it bigger for, Bills or Jets?
Well, if you just talk about it based on a fan perception, it seems like it's a lot bigger for the Jets. You know, doing radio in Syracuse, we have a lot of Buffalo Bills fans around there. They're like, it's week six, come on. And they point to last year, and it's hard to blame them when they have that confidence. They've won the division 4 years in a row. The Dolphins, with five games to go, were up three games, and somehow, some way, the Dolphins lost the right amount. The Bills won the right amount, and they had the confidence and overcame that deficit. So even if the Jets were to win tonight, it sounds like Buffalo Bills fans are more than optimistic that we'll figure it out. There's plenty of season left. On the Jets side, they're like, do or die, baby. Hang the banner. We win tonight. We're in first place in the AFC East. Take a picture, and it's going to last longer. That's how Jet fans are feeling.
Yeah, I'm already envisioning the screenshots of the standings at NFL.com if the Jets win. I'll say this, though, Paul. You know, Bills fans right now, the Bills have lost two in a row. And they do not really ever lose three in a row. And the way they've been losing is their offense has gone into hibernation mode. And this is something that
happens in games against the Jets. I mean, if there's one team I think the Bills fans know gives the Jet or one team that gives the Bills problems, it's the Jets more often than any other. In the division, good defensive scheme. The new head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, has been the defensive coordinator since 2021. So I guess my question to you is, the Jets defense this year, the start that it's off to, I've seen really impressive numbers, but the caveat there is the teams they've played and the quarterbacks they've played. So which is it? Is it on its way to being an elite defense again, or is that a little bit inflated right now?
Well, it's the big question is the news that just came in from Adam Schefter from ESPN moments before we even joined each other here on the radio. And it was Adam Schefter saying that Hassan Reddick has hired new representation in Drew Rosenhaus and Ryan Matha. And they have already spoken with the Jets, and they're trying to work out a deal as soon as possible. And they're hoping that it's long-term, and Hassan all of a sudden now wants to be a Jet for years to come. So that won't affect the game tonight, but that speaks to the bigger issue here of your question. It's the pass rush. The Jets lost Jermaine Johnson to a blown-out Achilles. Will McDonald has had to seize a bigger role. Hassan Reddick, who is supposed to be a straw that stirs the drink for this unit, obviously has been MIA to this point, and he's not playing tonight. Spoiler alert there. And they lost two defensive linemen this offseason that were key cogs in the machine. Bryce Huff became a free agent. He signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. And because of Hassan Reddick's acquisition, Joe Douglas was very adamant, the Jets general manager, that they didn't have enough money to pay John Franklin Myers, who was then traded to the Denver Broncos. So the Jets' depth on the defensive line, if you're looking at it from a Buffalo Bills perspective, like, I see a bunch of random undrafted free agent guys. What the hell's going on over there? So it's been the Jets scheme. It's a fair point on who they've played, but to me, I think it's the pass rush question. So far, they've been able to do it with a little bit of smoke and mirrors. Where obviously, Will McDonald's had a really good season. He has 6 sacks through the first 5 games of the season. But everyone else, it's been a bit of a question mark up front.
Offensively, my eyes watching the Jets earlier in the season, it looked like Aaron Rodgers was a bit of a game manager. I know that's often an insult, but he's effective, right? Is he the Rodgers that Jets fans thought they were getting, or is there a little less there?
There's no question there's a little bit less there for a couple of things. First off, we just haven't really seen the deep shots. Aaron took one in the week one 49ers game, and it was a miscommunication, but like it was almost just the threat of it. It was like, ooh, maybe that'll back him off a little bit. Maybe we're going to see that a little more. And that might have been offensive identity with Nathaniel Hackett or what have you, but they have not taken a lot of shots down the field despite some of the talent that they have at wide receiver. Mike Williams has continued to get more and more healthy. Obviously, they have Garrett Wilson on this team. And so it's been very rare to see a lot of these deep shots for the Jets. So thus, you know, Jet fans, they have dreams and you know, watching Green Bay Packers highlight tapes where that's the kind of Aaron Rodgers they've been getting. Outside of this Minnesota game where he imploded for 3 picks and had 2 picks ever for the first time in the first quarter, he only had 1 interception heading into that Vikings game. So he'd been doing, to your point, a game-managing job, and obviously he could still sling it. The arm's still there, but he's been getting beat up a lot. I think that's for 2 reasons. First off, obviously the offensive line, the pass protection hasn't been up to snuff. But on the other side of the puzzle, they've just been throwing the ball too much. They've been abandoning the running game, which was strange. In the Vikings game, they only had 14 carries in the full game. And while the Vikings eventually got up to a sizable lead, there were times in that game where they just seemingly abandoned the run for no reason. They also had the talent in the backfield. They just haven't been able to maximize it.
Yeah. Final question for you, Paul. On the coaching change, you know, the new coach bump, is there reason to believe the Jets will get it? How was Robert Saleh liked among players, and how much of a shock was the news when you heard it last week?
It was stunning, and not because, like, you know, Robert Saleh is Bill Belichick or something. Again, he had an overall record of 20-36. So obviously, he had not been a very good coach for the Jets. He has the third worst winning percentage in Jets franchise history, and he doesn't like to be around the names of it. But the only two guys he was ahead of are Rich Kotite and Adam Gase. So not great company he was certainly keeping there. But it's the timing of it. Woody Johnson's owned this team for 25 years. He has never fired a coach midseason, and that included having, obviously, Adam Gase here during his ownership. So that was surprising, the timing of it. But the more you kind of let it marinate, you kind of understand why Woody Johnson decided to do it. The problems with the Jets, coming out flat in games, starting slow, the penalty issues. Robert Saleh kept having these answers at the podium where, don't worry, we'll fix it, and he wasn't fixing it. So he's looking for a spark, Woody Johnson is, and he's hired Jeff Ulbrich, who's certainly a fiery guy. He played for a decade in the league as a former San Francisco 49ers linebacker. He will provide fire. And again, since 2010, interim head coaches in their very first games are 17-14. So there are sparks that happen, and that's exactly what the Jets are looking for. Will we get it tonight? Only God knows.
All right.
We have Todd Downing, who's taken over the play calling. There's optimism that there's going to be a spark, and obviously the Jets have won two straight at home against the Buffalo Bills, so they have that confidence and swagger heading into this game. The Jets have lost two in a row. The Bills have lost two in a row. But will we actually get differences on offense? That's going to decide the game.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen showdown has an over-under of 40.5, so expecting a defensive struggle here. Thanks very much, Paul.
All right, love it. And by the way, go Syracuse, baby. 5-1.
That's
let's roll.
5-1. Beat NC State. 5-1. Could have been 6-0. Paul Ethan Jr. of covering the Jets, rather. Sorry. As we gear up on Monday Night Football on the way. And Paul's on Twitter at BoyGreen25. Manchild Show with Boy Green on the Score 1260 in Syracuse. Zach, we'll get right to your call when we get back. We got to get a break in. Sorry, a little pressed for time here. Wide open the rest of the way, gearing up for Bills and Jets. One of these teams is likely to lose, unless it's a tie. 3 in a row. Who is it going to be? And are we ready to deal with a three loss in a row Bills team that does not happen on Josh Allen's watch, that does not happen on Sean McDermott's watch? 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Elevated to play with McDavid and Hyman tonight. Here's Ekholm wide open. A blast. Kicks it. Rebound. Scores. Just get it. His first goal is on. And Edmonton takes a 1-0 lead. Just a minute 16 in.
Jeff Skinner's first with the Oilers. NHL season rolls along. Sabres beat the Panthers on the weekend. They've lost two in a row. The Flames are undefeated. What else you got? Macklin Celebrini out for a week. And, Sabres next are going to play tomorrow night. They'll play, Wednesday, sorry. No, tomorrow. That's right. No. Wednesday. Pittsburgh. Sorry. How do I know what day it is? The Bills are playing today.
Clock right in front of you that
I know,
says the day of the week.
It's the Bills' day. They're not supposed to play on Mondays, although they do play on Monday. This is their last Monday for a while. A lot
It'd
of Sundays
cool if we
coming
could
up.
Program that clock with like a schedule in it and have like, hey, this person plays today.
Yeah. 803-0550. Bills and Jets. What's your feeling going in tonight? It's a big one for both teams. And the AFC East very much hangs in the balance, at least temporarily. And whoever wins the game will be leading the division. Zach in Boston. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
I wanted to talk to you about Sean McDermott.
All right.
So the big idea here is that we've accepted this as a transition year. We've accepted we're taking some dead cap. We're, looking at some names that might need to be moved on because they're not doing what they used to do. And I think it's fair to apply the same principle to McDermott. We're watching a team that's struggling with the same struggles it's had for the last couple of seasons. I feel like what we're consistently seeing on offense is an offense envisioned by a head coach. It's ball control. It's running the ball. It's not really looking for the knockout punches. And I think we're going to get more of the same. And it's only fair to really take a step back this year and decide if we're going to take our medicine and transition. Like, should we take all the medicine or just some of the medicine?
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is being legitimately open to replacing Sean McDermott with another head coach may be taking all of the medicine.
I guess I still don't know what you mean. Like, you mean in a transition year and having this be a year where you use it to dismiss the coach?
I see where you're coming from, that it might be a little unfair to judge the head coach in a transition year. But what I'm saying is that if we're transitioning, we should transition. It's the NFL. Nothing is ever really fair. I can understand saying, McDermott doesn't have all the pieces, but what coach ever gets to stand up and say, yeah, I had all of the pieces that I could have possibly wanted and it still didn't work out?
Well, I don't think there's any chance, Zach. I mean, you might want McDermott gone. I don't think there's any chance. especially in a year like this. And I guess the other thing I would dispute is, I mean, we have time. I'll bring it back on. You say things are going wrong, the same things that go wrong every year. What are those things? Because I think this year, they most certainly have new problems that they have not had in years past.
I think the problems we're seeing this year are problems that we should have seen coming. I am one of those people to think that McDermott has a bug in Bean's ear about what types of players are getting drafted. I don't think he has total control. I'm not saying that. But I do think that McDermott's the kind of coach that would say, hey, get me a jump ball wide receiver. Get me size guys. And we've seen McDermott draft or ask for specific types of player at defensive end that don't really work out in the league. And I think it's that same principle. I think it speaks to something that the best we've ever seen this team look was when there was some creative tension between Brian Daboll and Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
And that tension has left. The team has consistently gotten worse on offense, and the defense has kind of stayed the same. But we haven't even made it back to the AFC Championship game.
Well, I think thanks, Zach. I think all that is fair, big picture. And the one stat that, you know, if I told you 5 weeks ago, hey, you're going to be going into week six and Josh Allen's not going to have a single interception, you might have said, that sounds great. And right now, if I told you Josh Allen had no interceptions, you might be more likely to say, like, well, who cares? The offense has been disastrous for two straight weeks. Now, I think back to the years where Tyrod was the quarterback, and that was a team trying to make a game manager, trying to compete by not throwing interceptions, and you can compete doing that. You definitely can. The question is, are you afraid of turnovers? Are you afraid of interceptions? They can throw you, somebody can throw you out of a game, but more often than not, a pick here or there is just not that big of a deal. Josh Allen's interceptions, I mean, I think they've been wildly oversold. He had a career high in interceptions last year with 18. Like, okay, I'm not too worried about it. If the whole, it's something I've said a lot about this offense, if the whole whiteboard of offensive goals, if number one was balance, number two was no interceptions, then their offense is doing what they want it to do. I mean, mine would be points and explosive plays. They did say explosive plays most of the offseason. That was a repeated phrase over and over again. Explosive plays, explosive plays. And in the passing game, they did not get those in the finale against Kansas City. That might have been what led them to say explosive plays. And then they feel that a pass-catching core that so far is not really giving them those explosive plays. At least not on the level I think they want. Thanks for the phone call. More of your calls on the other side. Wide open final hour of this show. Going to hand things off for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as well, 10 o'clock. But, all right, McDermott, Brady, Bean. Like, in 24 hours, we might have some different conversations. Or they might just, you know, win 17-4. Probably not. That might be scoregami. Four. Has four ever been scored in a game? I'm going to look that up. Is 17-4 scoregami? We did have scoregami in the Lions-Cowboys game. We also had the Lions line up a tackle wide. I'm sure the Bills are very excited to borrow that. 803-0550 on WGR.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.